If the rebels in eastern Libya had to run a country today, they'd need a lot of help. They lack the resources and expertise needed to run a viable government. NGOs could help. International non-governmental organizations often play a key role in developing new nations or rebuilding war-torn ones. NGOs are doing both those things in South Sudan. Africa's newest country is in the process of emerging from a region that was torn apart by decades of civil war, and right now South Sudan is almost entirely run by NGOs. From the capital, Juba, Matthew Brunwasser reports.
Operation Lifeline Sudan, launched by the United Nations in 1989, was one of the biggest humanitarian efforts ever seen. It brought together UN agencies and some 35 NGOs. Decades of civil war ended in 2005 when a peace treaty gave the South de facto autonomy. The former rebel group, the SPLA, has been governing the South ever since. Vassar College political scientist Zachariah Mampili says the situation created an unsustainable relationship between foreign NGOs and the SPLA.
The SPLA focuses on legal and policing issues to provide a degree of stability in areas that they controlled, and they basically outsourced the rest of governance provision of education, development of a health system, to international NGOs. Inevitably, they're going to have to deal with this question of how do you get these international NGOs and international agencies to follow the directives of the new government of South Sudan.
In the wake of January's vote for independence, the SPLA will have to take full responsibility for all aspects of governing. That won't be easy. Aaron Shapiro works for Samaritan's Purse, an American FBO. That's NGO speak for a faith-based organization or a religious NGO. He says NGOs still provide basic services in maybe 90% of South Sudan.
It's a catch-22 in that if all the NGOs left, eventually something would have to give. Eventually the government would probably be forced to be more responsible, be held to account. But if all the NGOs left, a lot of people would die without health care and without clean water.
Jok Madut Jok is an American-educated anthropologist who returned last year to become Undersecretary of South Sudan's Culture Ministry. He's well aware of the bind his government is in.
If we dictate how we use help from outside, we will be accused of being too controlling. If we let the donor community tell us what to do with our nation, we won't have a nation. It will be a nation conceived and delivered by foreigners. It will not be raised from within our own philosophies, something that we own, something that we will fit in our traditions and our cultures, something that will be symbolic of us being a sovereign state.
The government in Juba is feeling pressure to provide more services itself, but it lacks what NGO types call capacity. There's a short supply of educated, experienced, and motivated administrators. And its institutions are far from solid. South Sudanese have only just begun to make their own. And there's another unforeseen consequence of having a country run by NGOs. Armies of young, foreign do-gooders.
This is a beer waterfall. If you don't drink beer, you have to eat half a loaf of bread.
There's so many 20-something Americans working at places like Save the Children that Juba can appear like a massive fraternity party. This is the Juba chapter of the Hash House Harriers, a drinking club with a running problem that's popular worldwide, especially with expats. This video of a charity fundraiser was posted online.
How's everybody doing this time? Much more motivated than the first story. That's fan-freaking-tastic.
Marina Peter has worked as an advocate on peace and reconciliation issues in Sudan for 25 years. She says Sudanese have a lot of respect for their elders, so young NGO staff can be hard to swallow.
They see these young people coming in and basically telling them what they should do, very often with no experience in Africa, let alone in Sudan. And then they are running these NGOs with these thousands, if not millions, of dollars. And so people are saying, but who are they? They don't listen to us. They don't ask us what we really need. And they are just disconnected from our society.
The large numbers of internationals and their international salaries create a separate economy as well. Juba has Thai, Indian, and Chinese restaurants. There's a Cuban place with a weekly salsa night. Locals say it's one of the most expensive cities in the world. It's normal to pay $100 a night to sleep in a tent. With full South Sudanese independence expected in July, the threat from Khartoum is receding, so the public expects less money spent on the military and security, and more for schools, hospitals, and roads. And that means the country must learn to take care of itself and stop depending on NGOs. For The World, I'm Matthew Brunwasser, Juba, South Sudan.
You can watch the candid video of partying NGO workers in Sudan that Matthew mentioned. It's at theworld.org.